Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bring it up, Jake. GM Network, Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and whoever the hell you are. The Power Hour on You Better You Bet, and All right. Okay, I'm going to try and get this right. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up in 20 minutes, our friend, pro sports bettor Rob Bazzola will join us. Best bets for week 10 in the NFL. And 40 minutes from now, like, the night in sports should be way better than this. Like, one NBA game, all the college games kind of stink. We do have an NFL game, and we will handicap it for you. Side total and props, Femi and I will. Femi's Island, first touchdown scorers, thy royal prop king. All our bets for the Broncos and Raiders will close the show 40 minutes from now. But joining us right now. Our friend, NBC Sports betting analyst, the great Jay Croucher, the saucy Aussie. Every single week, I think to myself, there's no way that the Sunday Night Football stand-up can be better than it was last week. And every week, I am pleasantly surprised. This one, the best one ever. I can't wait for this next one. On Twitter, at Croucher JD. My friend, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, very well, Nick. You've got an absolute banger coming this Sunday night. Me and Matthew banged it out, so to speak, in one go.
Oh, okay.
So one take. Yeah, so I look forward to that. Hitting your screens on Sunday evening for Steelers Chargers on NBC.
What is the average number of takes it normally takes you? Because you talk like the... Does Matthew Berry talk at all during that stand-up, or is it only you?
He's a supporting cast member. Very much so. Yeah, I would describe myself as the Ryan Gosling and Crazy Stupid Love of the ensemble cast for that one. But no, the over-under for takes, it's probably a flat 2.0. Usually there's one. Usually you just do two, one for safety anyway, even if you nail it. But today, producer Steven was happy enough that just one take in and done. No safety net for this one. We'll just live and die with the consequences.
I love that's what we gotta love, live programming, baby. No safety net. Like, when you screw up like I did to start the hour, you just keep on trucking, baby.
We'll do it live.
Femi, yeah, shout out. Bill O'Reilly went to my high school. How about that? No one cares. So we'll move
on. Chris Hemsworth went to my high school.
Is that
anyone
true?
Who's curious. Yeah, he did. He's from college.
Who do you think has a higher approval rating among women?
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
Can I ask the goddamn question, please?
What was the question?
Yes, I don't want to ask it anymore. It's going to be a funny
Sizemore
question,
went
too.
To my high school.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, Grady Sizemore also a higher
ladies
approval.
Ladies love Grady.
Rating. Yeah, among yeah, women. No. Bill O'Reilly or Chris Hemsworth? Probably Chris Hemsworth. Femi, or as you called him in the break, Femitron. Mm. Why did you call him that?
I'm not sure. Kids have been playing with like a Transformers thing lately, so I've got Tron on the mind, I guess. So yeah, just seeping into the subconscious there. Sorry about that, Femi.
No, but it was awesome.
I hope it sticks. Yeah, it was a compliment, I think. Yeah, any comparison a man can have to Optimus Prime, may I ask this?
Yes, but I was going to say, what would you prefer, Femi? Because like Femi Prime isn't that great, or maybe you like that. Optimus Femi, no. Femi Prime, or Femitron, if you had to pick.
I'm into Optimus Femi. Femitron or Optimus Femi? If I sleep on it, I'll go Femitron. Because the great Jay Crouch called me Femitron.
I thought, and what's funny about this is just like, what is old is new again. Like, Transformers was my favorite thing when I was like a young kid. And my dad took me to see the animated movie. And in the first scene of the animated movie, Megatron and Starscream literally murder like five members of the Autobots. And it actually like scarred me for life. You can look this up. Children scarred for life, like it's a children's show, and it all of a sudden it turns into a rated R movie, like executed at point blank range. My dad was like, he told me after the fact, God rest his soul, I thought about pulling you out of the movie, but we had to watch to see the Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod after Megatron kills Optimus Prime. It's a children's movie. Anyway, wow. Femitron is chomping at the bit to ask you some awards questions. I'll let him get to that in a second. Sure. But Jay, first, do you have a favorite side or total bet for us week 10 in the NFL?
I don't, but I'll give you a prop, Nick. Coming off the bye, Quinshon Judkins, his rushing prop is set at 81.5 against the Jets. The line moved tremendously after the Jets got rid of all their players. The most important player they got rid of for this prop is Quinnen Williams, who is the most important player on that defensive line, or he was the most important. He's now a Dallas Cowboy. But I think that his absence on that line is going to make the Jets much more of a porous run defense. And the sneaky thing with Quinshon Judkins is that he gets immense workload. Whenever the Browns can stay remotely close in a game, the past two close games that the Browns have had, Judkins has had 23 and 25 carries. He was a workhorse in college. He had a shoulder thing that he came out of the game with against New England, but he's practicing. He's not on the injury report. So he should be good to go. And I think that the Browns, as favorites, I don't think that the Jets are going to get out to some inescapable lead against Cleveland's defense. So I think that the Browns should have game script. Wouldn't be surprised at all if Quinshon Judkins gets 20 carries or more. And if he does, I think that he will be efficient enough to go over 81.5 rushing yards.
Well, Quinshon Judkins, once upon a time, people thought he might win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Maybe they still do. I don't really think that. I've never really been one of those people. But hey, there's still half the season left to go. Speaking of which, we're getting all the midseason content right now, which has been interesting to digest, but still a lot of football left to be played. Offensive Rookie of the Year, though, has been kind of interesting because not a whole lot of Jackson Dart out there, despite what the betting market says. He's minus 135 over at BetMGM, but a lot of the content suggesting other people. Is there a bet to be made? I made the case of Tyler Warren at plus 700. Seems a little bit long, given what everyone's been saying about this award over the past 5 days or so.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that the most instructive thing to come out of all the midseason content is that Jackson Dart just doesn't resonate yet as an offensive rookie of the year. We've had voters
say They lose every game. So
they do lose every game. He's problematic. I think that the consensus take on Jackson Dart, which I think is the right one, is that he's been good, he's exceeded expectations, and he's been a spark for the New York Giants, but that doesn't necessarily result in him being the offensive rookie of the year frontrunner. I think he'd be 0% to win a vote held today. I think Emeka Egbuka would likely win and Tyler Warren would finish second. Jackson Dart, it reminds me, it's not quite the same, I don't think it's quite as egregious, but it reminds me of like when Russell Westbrook was favorite to win sixth man of the year on the Lakers the year they went 33-49. And it's like, why is he favorite? Why does he get to be favorite in this market? It's just because he's got a big name and he plays in a big market, but no one actually thinks that he's going to win the award. So I think that Dart has a path to win. Dart could ignite. He could finish really hot. The Giants could start winning games. Certainly don't think he's zero to win the award, but I think that Emeka Egbuka is the most likely winner of the award, even if there are some red flags in his underlying stuff and particularly his inability to beat man coverage. And I think that Tyler Warren is the second most likely player to win the award, to your point, Femi. I think that Tyler Warren is the best bet in this market at the moment. Ultimately, I think you just want to take a position against Jackson Dart. And the best way to do that is by betting Tyler Warren right now.
All right, let's talk Coach of the Year. That's my favorite award market, I think, in any sport. I just love the NFL Coach of the Year. Shane Steichen finally showed some cracks losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers this past Sunday. Let's just, for giggles, let's say that they lose on Sunday in Germany against the Falcons. They'll then have the bye week, and coming out of the bye week, they play the Kansas City Chiefs. If that happens, they'll have gone one full month without winning a football game. Who do you think picks up the pieces if that happens to Steichen and the Colts? Is it all Vrabel, or is there someone further down the board that you think could potentially make a late charge in Coach of the Year?
Yeah, so I think that the winner is very likely one of the top four guys on the odds board, Steichen, Vrabel, McDonald, or Shanahan. Shanahan, to me, is compelling because the Niners get this primetime game against the Colts in Week 16, which could be the Koi Bowl, which is kind of a strange two words to join in tandem, but it could be a Koi Bowl.
If you Shanahan spelled it K-O-I, it'd be like the fishbowl. Yeah. Just wanted to...
There's Koi Bowls, yeah. And there's Koi Bowls. Yes. Yeah, just try not to eat out of it. And then I believe he plays Chicago the following week in primetime as well, Shanahan, if that game remains in primetime. So I think that Shanahan, with the injury narrative, he just lost his first round pick for the season as well. If the Niners storm back and win the division and he beats Steichen in primetime, then I think there is a path. I do think that he is the fourth most likely to win at this point, though he would be at price, my bet in this market, at 16-1. I do think that Steichen is the most likely winner, just because he has still a path to the one seed. He's still a 75% chance to win his division or so. Vrabel, I think, is the most likely to pick up the pieces if Steichen does implode, just because, again, I make the Patriots around 50% to win the AFC East. Mike Vrabel taking down Josh Allen, beating Josh Allen twice to win the division would be an excellent Coach of the Year case. Mike McDonald certainly has a path. I don't think he has as high of a ceiling as Vrabel or Steichen, but Mike McDonald, I think he probably needs the one seed to actually win the award, but the Seahawks can get the one seed. They are one of the best teams in the NFC, and his price to get the one seed is right around his Coach of the Year price. But Shanahan, I think, is the clear fourth guy, and I think that his price should be a little bit closer to McDonald's at this point.
This is You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, hanging out with Jay Croucher, NBC's lead betting analyst, co-host of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry and Connor Rogers on Twitter. At Croucher JD. We're going to get back to the NFL here shortly, but I wanted to ask you one NBA awards question. Most improved player, Josh Giddey. We all saw the performance the other night. He is now the favorite to win most improved player. Is it crazy, though, to suggest that Austin Reeves could actually be a contender in this award? Averaged 20 last year, but the way he's been playing, maybe he averages 25 this season.
Yeah, certainly. I think he's in the mix. I'd say that he's more probably tier two in the award. I think that Giddey and Denny Avdija are rightfully the top two favorites. How incredible would it be, Femi, if we have back-to-back most improved player award winners who were born in Melbourne, Victoria, and have suspect jump shots? Which would be quite incredible. Both of these guys, Giddey and Dyson, both grew up like 30 minutes from where I did as well. Perhaps I'll throw my hat in the most improved player market next year. Yeah. Unfortunately, my inability to play basketball is a hindrance there, but I digress. I think that Giddey is the most likely winner because the Bulls have a realistic chance to be a top six seed, to be that might be a great team, but they can be a 43-39 type team. And Giddey, who was a little bit of a laughing stock, I think, in the league, he could go from being a 14.5 points per game last year, I believe he was, to 21-9-9 and being seen as a legitimate all-star level player leading the Bulls to their most feel-good season in years. I think that that is the most likely case that would win. At the same time, I do think that he is very beatable. The Bulls are likely going to cool off. Coby White's going to come back. Avdija, I think, is kind of like Giddey light, where he can be, again, he's a guy who's on a team that had a win total in the low 30s that could emerge as a low 40s win team, and he would be the face of that. But Austin Reeves, yeah, certainly. I think that he has a lot of ceiling in terms of, you know, Austin Reeves is the one guy of this mix who could really become like a, you know, an all NBA level caliber player. I think his path to winning probably involves LeBron only playing like half the season, but that's perfectly plausible as an outcome. If Austin Reeves is like 25, 26 points per game, the Lakers are a two or a three seed, and Austin Reeves is now viewed as the second best player, on the Lakers, on a Lakers contending team, and his partnership with Luka Doncic, as LeBron kind of eases into the third guy at his age and coming off of his injuries, I think that is a viable path. I just don't think it's as clean of a path as the likes of Giddey and Avdija have.
Give me 20 seconds on this, just because, like, I don't know, I kind of like this guy, but I don't really know what I'm talking about. Is Jalen Duren too long of a price to win most improved player?
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I'm not sure what his ceiling is for offensive stats, but the good thing with Duren is that he is just a physical specimen. He is an absolute marvel. He's like, he reminds me of like Dwight Howard or Amari Stoudemire, and he's young enough that it makes sense that he could make a massive leap. Again, he's going to be the second guy on his team at best behind Cade Cunningham. So I don't think he's, you know, he's in the top tier with the likes of Giddey and Avdija, but he's certainly, he's another guy who you have to still have in consideration.
Give me like, because we're running out of time, it has to be 15 seconds. Give me something that surprised you so far in the NBA.
Yeah, it's a strange one. The Orlando Magic, who I still think have a pretty high ceiling. And
they suck, right?
Well, I don't think they suck. I think they're still the third most likely team to win the East behind the Cavs and the Knicks. But just watching their game against the Hawks, it was kind of jarring that they don't have a single player who can go past the player in front of them. Like, they don't have anyone who can beat their man off the dribble. It's all bully ball with Paolo and Fran. So anyway, just a jarring kind of thing is watching that game. It's like, no one goes past their man, which I feels like should be a problem in basketball.
I think I would take the Sixers upside over Orlando, but like I do think Orlando does have, if they're able to put it together. I mean, also, yeah, like they don't play defense,
which is strange. They should. They have good talent to play defense.
It's kind of like, you know, it's like you'd never put a shrimp on the Barbie. It's like these are things you're supposed to do. Listen, man, we can't wait for the stand up on Sunday night. Because you're Australian. All right.
Yeah.
Right. Jay Croucher on the show. Thank you very much. Rob Bazzola joins us next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
All right, all our bets for tonight coming up 20 minutes from now to close the show. But joining us right now to give us his bets for Week 10 in the National Football League. And just so everybody knows, you don't have to worry. Rob has his words, not mine. He said this, not me. 99-star lock of the millennium bets on every single game on the board this week. I'm excited to hear them, though, and get all of Rob's thoughts. Our friend, pro sports bettor Rob Bazzola on the show. On Twitter at Rob Bazzola. Check out his sports betting content company, The Hammer. We had Joey Kanish on the show last hour. The show is Forward Progress, the NFL betting show. You can find it in podcast form. You can find it on YouTube. Just search Forward Progress. Circles off as well. And the app is BetStamp. My friend, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It wasn't a 99-star play of the millennium. It was actually the 100-star bankroll builder is what I said offline as well. 100-star bankroll builder is what we're going with for today.
Well, I think kind of like the bank, like you've built the bank, because that's the thing, right? Like everyone's bankroll has already been built. Now, like, we're doubling the bankroll. We need, yeah.
Well, you take the full bankroll and you put it in play so you can build a bigger bankroll. That's how we do it.
Honestly, you should have run for mayor of New York City. Let's get to the games this weekend. There's some kind of funny tie-in here. I don't know what it is. I'm too tired. Falcons and the Colts in Germany coming up on Sunday morning. DeForest Buckner didn't make the trip to Germany. Apparently, Sauce Gardner is going to play in the game. Been in Indianapolis for just a couple days. The Colts, Rob, are 6.5-point, like, nominal home favorites. Again, the game is in Germany against Michael Penix Jr. and the Falcons. The total is 48.5. How are you looking to bet this one?
Yeah, I like Atlanta in this game, even though the Colts went out and they got Sauce and he's going to play. I mean, it's a meaningful upgrade, but it's not like a plug-and-play solution right away. Atlanta's offensive line has been very good all season. Top five in pressure prevention, top five in sack avoidance. It lets Michael Penix work from clean pockets more often than not. And here's the thing. This Colts defense, they've benefited from an extremely soft schedule of opposing running games. If you go look at who they've played this year, they haven't faced a backfield remotely close to what they're going to get in Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. And now they lose DeForest Buckner as well, who's, listen, not the best run stopper anymore. But I think Atlanta's ground game keeps them on schedule in this game. And ultimately, like, this is a neutral field. This is a pretty big set, like, big price between these two teams. I do like the Colts moving forwards. I think you can throw last week's game out the window as like an anomaly, six turnovers. But Atlanta's found a pass rush again. We know that if you can get after Daniel Jones, it could lean to some turnovers. And of course, this game's in Berlin. It's an outdoor venue. It's going to be cold. It's going to be on grass, where we saw some struggles last week for that offense. So I think that this line is a little bit too steep right now. I like Atlanta. I hate betting these games, Nick, because there's nothing worse than losing the European game and being depressed before the 1 o'clock's even hit. So I rarely fire on these, but I actually do like Atlanta quite a bit here.
And Sam Panayotovic and I are on the air during the international games when they're played, and the worst than losing an international game is being on the air and losing an international game. I like the Falcons as well. So does Femi. Okay, AFC South, Jaguars at Davis Mills and the Texans with CJ Stroud out. Feels like last chance saloon for the Texans this season. How are you betting this game with the disappointing Jags at Houston?
Yeah, I think I'm going to fade the Jags until the market catches up on what they are. Like, listen, I'm not super optimistic about Houston, but I feel like I was hard done by last week in the game against the Broncos. They probably win if CJ Stroud, you know, plays the entire game. But the reality is, I mean, their defense is one of the best units in football. Top two EPA per dropback, top two success rate. They play very disciplined. They play too high zone. They take away a ton of explosives. And what they do is they force you to stay patient and methodically move downfield. And Trevor Lawrence can't do that. He hasn't been able to do that all year. They just make too many mistakes on offense, whether it's drops, penalties on offense, not knowing what the play clock is at. They just can't sustain drives this way, especially with this receiving core. On the other side, listen, Davis Mills, he's not a good quarterback. I know what I'm getting into with Davis Mills here. Some injuries on the O-line as well. But it's very different facing the Jacksonville defensive front versus the Denver defensive front, who applies pressure at will on the quarterback here. So I will use our famous hashtag of wrong team favored here, Nick, because the wrong team is favored in this game. Should be Houston favored. I like the Texans.
Buffalo and Miami, the Bills 9.5-point favorites coming off their annual win of the season against the Kansas City Chiefs last week. Miami extra rest after they lost last Thursday night to the Ravens. How are you attacking this one? Side total 9.5 to side 50 the total.
Guys, this is a true story. I went to bed on Tuesday night. I had a very, very vivid dream. I'm not joking when I say this. I've never sailed a boat in my entire life, but I was on a sailboat myself. And it was sunny, it was nice, it was warm, and I'm sailing this boat, and these dolphins are just flying out of the water next to me. And I woke up the next morning, I'm like, wow, that was like a nice dream, it was really weird. And then I saw the Bills injury report, and I'm like, I think this is something here. And listen, it's improved today. They've gotten some players back in practice, but their entire defense is injured for the most part, in some capacity. Even if some of these guys play, they're very beat up. And the Dolphins traded away guys at the deadline. They stink. But at some point, you got to draw a line in the sand and say, I think this is too big of a number. And I do. I think Miami's offense matches up well with how Buffalo wants to play. They play heavy zone. Tua's very efficient against zone. They struggle to defend these inside zone run concepts. That's a core part of Miami's ground game. And we saw Mike McDaniel have a decent game plan against Buffalo on the road earlier this year on a short week. I think he can scheme it up, honestly. I think, like, forget about the letdown after KC. I know a lot of people will talk about that. You know, maybe you don't get an inspired game plan on offense from Buffalo here, but ultimately, I think the Dolphins, the offense is good enough to keep them in this game, so I'll take the 9.5 points.
I recently had a dream that I was taking shots with one of my ex-girlfriends, and then we went back to my old apartment, which I no longer live in. Bet on this weekend because of that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that translates to, honestly. I have no idea. I'll have to think it through, Nick. But was it vivid?
Incorrect.
It a vivid dream? Do you remember all the details of that dream?
The answer is the Atlanta Falcons. You bet on this Thursday. Our guest is Rob Pizzola, Pro Sports Better. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. BetStamp is the app. Forward Progress is the show on YouTube, and you can find it in podcast form as well. All right, you ready? Lightning round as we hit a bunch of games coming up this Sunday.
Let's do it.
Panthers laying 5.5 against the New Orleans Saints. Total in the game, Rob, is 39.5.
Yep, played some under in this game. I make the fair value around 38. I don't like the Saints offense at all. They lean on structure rather than playmaking. They have no explosive element of their offense whatsoever. With Carolina, they want to run the ball first, set up easy downs for Bryce Young. The problem is the Saints are actually very good as a run-stuffing team in terms of creating negative plays. They create a lot of negative plays in the run game, so that's a problem for Carolina if you can get them into second and long, third and long. I like the under in this game. Like I said, my fair number is 38.
I feel like there's no greater buzzkill than when you, and I mean like the royal you, it could be you, Rob, it could be me, it could be Femi, you go on a show and they're really excited to ask you about a game, and then you respond by like doing your Al Roker impersonation. Well, let me tell you about the weather. With that being said, Rob, who do you like in the Bears-Giants game this weekend at Soldier Field? Bears 4.5, 46.5 the total.
So I don't like anything in this game. If the weather were to clear, I would grab the Giants in an instant, because I think the Bears have only been bet out in this game because they're the stronger running team. I mean, they designed some very good run concepts. The Giants haven't been able to stop the run all year. So you figure inclement weather, downfield passing is going to be hurt. Just lean on the team that can run the ball better. That's fine. But if this clears up a little bit more as time goes on, Cordell Flott is practicing. He'll probably be back. The Bears actually have quietly a lot of defensive injuries as well. So I haven't done anything with this one, but I'm very closely monitoring the weather in the hopes that it's not as bad as it currently looks. And I would grab some Giants in that case.
Would you, because my guess is, and like you can really speak to this, Rob, is that people that bet professional, like, or bet a lot of money, right? I'm guessing they're waiting to bet this up from 46.5 once we get an all clear with the weather, whenever that comes. Am I right in that assumption or no?
I was surprised it went through 47. I'm very surprised. I mean, I did a show on Sunday night where I said, grab the under because this is a weather game and it's going to go down. Then you can decide what you're going to do. Typically speaking, if as long as it's not horrible, there tends to be buyback towards the over. I can't say for sure, but I think this will close around 47.
All right, that's the Bears and the Giants coming up on Sunday in Chicago. Battle of Purple in Minnesota. Baltimore, 4-point road favorite at the Vikings, total 49. I love the Ravens in this game. Do you agree?
I do. I bet the Ravens. I bet some 3.5. I bet some 4 in this game. I think you just look at the Ravens now and you have to price them like the team that they were coming into the year. I mean, they don't have a single player on the injury report at this point. They traded for Draymond Jones. I think that's a great add for them on the defensive line. They traded for Alohi Gilman from the Chargers a few weeks back. Kyle Hamilton plays way closer to the line of scrimmage where he's way more disruptive. I don't know how much stock I put into the Vikings win last week. They did a really good job of shutting down the run, but it's very different game planning for Jared Goff than it is for Lamar Jackson, who can beat you in space. And the Vikings play a lot of man on the outside. Lamar's legs are a man beater, plain and simple. So I think this is a little bit short. My fair was, I want to say, between 4.5 and 5. I like the Ravens.
Browns and the Jets in the Jersey Meadowlands. Browns a 2-point road favorite, total of 38.
Yeah, if I watch 5 plays in this game, it will be 5 plays too many on Browns and Jets. I have no feel for this game, honestly. Dylan Gabriel as a favorite, I don't really jive with that. But then you have the Jets, and we don't even know he's playing quarterback for the Jets yet. As of this point, defense is in complete shambles.
It's got to be Fields, right? It has to be Fields.
I would assume it has to be Fields. I would assume, but I have no idea. at this point, the market's just reacted to Sauce and Quinnen Williams being traded, move Cleveland to favorites. I have no problem with that. Honestly, I think it's just settled in the range where it has to be.
I like the Bucs against the Patriots. Drew Dinsa came on the show on Thursday. He likes the Patriots against the Bucs. Tampa 2.5, 48 the total. Who do you like, Bucs and Pats?
So I don't like anything here either. I am holding out because I would like to get the Pats at 3 in this game, if possible. I do think Baker Mayfield was hurting in those weeks going into the bye. Didn't look like himself. But ultimately, New England's passing offense, I just want to find ways to back that, especially when if you're getting 3 points. Like, Todd Bowles blitzes a ton. Drake Mays handled it really well. So far, he's been excellent against the blitz, top 5 EPA per play. And that's the key to this game, in my opinion, is can he hold up to the different looks that he's going to get from that defense. I considered the over in this game as well. Ultimately, it just opened a little bit higher than I wanted to. And I don't necessarily just want to chase a price for action, but I guess leans Patriots and over, but I don't have a strong conviction on this game.
We've got 3 minutes left and 4 games to hit. Literally on the screen right now, there's a jostling back and forth from 6.5 to 7 in Seattle and Arizona. Currently at MGM, 6.5 is the number for Seattle. It was 7 like 20 seconds ago. Total is 45. What do you like here? Jacoby Brissett starts for Arizona.
I like Seattle a little bit. The thing with Jacoby Brissett is he's decisive. He works the middle of the field well, but there's like a ceiling with Jacoby Brissett, right? And this Seattle defense is going to harass him. They're very good at getting pressure with just 4. That's a tough fit for the Cardinals' offensive line. And then defensively, Arizona finally got healthy against the Cowboys. Then they lose Mac Wilson, they lose Max Melton, they lose Will Johnson in the same game. That's a bad recipe against a Seattle offense that is cooking with heavy personnel, tons of play action. So I make this game just north of 7, like a 7.1. At the 6.5, so I have no problem with betting Seattle.
Any desire to take the points with Marcus Mariota and the Commanders, +8 at home against the Lions, 49 the total?
I had a big desire to do that this morning, but then every single Detroit offensive lineman returned to practice today. Left tackle Taylor Decker, right tackle Penei Sewell, even their backup tackle Dan Skipper. And that's where I said, nah, I don't want this anymore. The Commanders are a mess. Defensively, like, they lose Marshawn Lattimore to ACL injury. He's completely washed, but he was a starter for them. That's how bad it is in the secondary right now. So no more interest in this game. I think the market price is totally fair with Washington-Detroit.
Super lightning round, 10 seconds per. Rams at the Niners, Rams 4.5 on the road.
I bet Rams, and I don't want to advise somebody to chase it at this number. I just love the matchup of their O-line against the 49ers D-line. I think they're going to have their way with this team. So at this point, it's gone out too far, though. So I'd say nothing here. But if there's buyback on the 49ers, hit the Rams at 4.
Chargers-Steelers, 10 seconds.
Like the under a lot in this game. Offensive line injuries for the Chargers. Big problem.
10 seconds. Eagles-Packers Monday Night Football.
No strong opinion here. I don't know what the Eagles are going to be coming out of the bye. They get so many players back. They've traded for Jalen Phillips. No clue how to bet Eagles and Packers.
I bet the Eagles is the answer. Give us a bet, Rob, that will change the course of humanity for the better.
Well, it's not going to change it for the better, but it's going to change it. We're taking tonight, Thursday Night Football, Bo Nix anytime touchdown, +350. It's going to change my Twitter timeline because I rag on Nix all the time and people are going to point out that he scored a touchdown. Let it be written. Let it be done. It's happening tonight.
Quoth Rob Pizzola.
I don't know. The Raven?
You never read Edgar Allan Poe? Nevermore.
No.
God almighty.
I've read like 4 books in my life, man. I used to use Cole's notes through high school. I don't read.
And he's smarter than me. What does that say about me? Rob, we'll talk to you next week. Rob's the best. At Rob Pizzola on Twitter. All our bets for tonight. We'll wrap up the show right after this.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
All right, thank you, Sadola. Before we wrap up the tremendous Football Thursday edition of You Better. By the way, I didn't ask. It's my bad. Let's all blast the Twitter link out, please. I'm going to do that right now. All right, well, I can't find it. I'll do it while Brad or Femi are talking. Okay. Thank yous to dole out. Three tremendous guests joined us on the show today. Pro sports bettor Joey Kanish, pro sports bettor Rob Mazzola, both of the Hammer. Kanish's show has hit the books. Rob's is Forward Progress. Find it in podcast form and on YouTube. Also joined by NBC sports betting analyst Jay Croucher, who not only has the best Australian accent in the biz, not only the best award bettor, one of the best award bettors in the biz, but also the stand-ups before Sunday Night Football. I'm just saying, like, I've had TV people reach out to me and say, look out for the Emmy Awards this year. Jay Croucher, best actor. Those stand-ups are the stuff of legend. Our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Our technical director, Tyler Morales. Our engineer, Jake Hassan. Our video producer, Downtown Mike Brown. Our associate producer, the great Addie Bates. Coming up after us on the BetMGM Network is a four-hour live betting extravaganza known to you and yours as BetMGM Tonight, featuring friend of the show, Pat Boyle. It is Pat Boyle tonight, right? Am I right about that, Brad?
See.
Brad is nodding, which is excellent in an audio medium. And our guest at this time, the one, the only, Brad Evans. Brad, happy Tequila Thursday. Hola, amigo.
Amigos, bartender! Bartender, pour my boys a stiff drink and make it at least three flipping fingers.
Yeah, bartender, you jerk. Before we get, Brad, to your best bet for Thursday Night Football with the Broncos and the Raiders, is there weather, and I always preface this by saying, and I'm not making this up, because it does kind of sound like it's Mad Libs, but it's true. Brad has a meteorology degree from Mississippi State University. It sounds like two things like inserted into a sentence to make something up. Like Brad has a degree in leisure studies from, you know, NYU. That's a really terrible example. You get the point. Brad, what's happening here? And Mike Brown actually has a Doppler on the screen here. So Mike, put Brad on the screen, take me out with the Doppler, and Brad, tell the audience what's happening here.
Nothing in regards to precipitation. I'm not really sure why on earth we need the Doppler right now, but we do have some blustery conditions, if you will, in the greater Denver metro area. Winds right now sustained at 21 miles an hour out of the northwest, but they are expected to diminish once the sun sets, which is going to be happening in about 45 minutes in that part of the country. So no need to worry. I know the total is tumbling down the mountainside. People are worried about the winds and Mother Nature and her potential impacts, but I'm not fretting at all. In fact, I kind of like the over. I know Fibby does as well. So don't freak out, fools. The wind, again, is going to diminish, but going to be around 15 miles an hour sustained once the ball is booted through the air. So really should have some minimal impacts tonight.
I'm actually shocked, and like put me on the screen here with the Doppler effect. And Brad, we're going to bring you back on in a second. Brad, given your degree in meteorology, I'm actually shocked that like that you didn't reference something here. So everybody take a look here, and what you will see along the Pacific coast, where California is, right, and going up all the way to Femi's home state of Washington, you will see the color purple, right, cascading up the screen. There is a phenomenon that is known as the purple reef, and this happens when off the coast of Japan and in that area in Asia, when there is some radioactivity, like radioactive, maybe it could be nuclear material, dumped into the ocean, it moves its way steadily towards the Pacific coast of the United States of America and creates this weather phenomenon known as the Purple Reef. And what it does is it increases the potential tsunami warning. Now, we're not at an exceptionally deep shade of purple, which means like we're on high alert here and maybe like the West Coast of America gets flooded here. We're not quite there where, as Mater James Keenan of Tool famously sang in the mid-90s, learned to swim. We're not there yet. But, Brad, I'm shocked that you don't see the Purple Reef here. Do they not teach you this? You're too busy banging the cowbells here in Mississippi State?
That is correct, and I smoked way too much Purple Reef while a member of the Bulldogs family, so that might be the reason why.
Brad, what is your best bet for tonight in Thursday Night Football?
Oh, let's go with the Raiders, shall we? I'm going to go with Trey Tucker. I took the over at 3.5 receptions. That's how I'm off the board. You got to bet it on the over on 4.5 receptions. Gets a mile high, and they're not so My Little Ponies. That's a +120. So I'll roll the shoulders and get seduced by that juice. He's going to be facing a backup DB in Barron now with no patches or tan on the field. And the target share really should spike, of course, with Jacoby Myers now. And Duval County. With the Jacksonville Jaguars, you look at Tucker, he's one of the best in the NFL. An average yards of separation per target. Yes, that is something people track. He's actually top five in that category. So I think he's going to be gobbling up all kinds of catches and what could and should be a negative game script this evening. So again, in not so windy conditions, despite the purple reef effects, as Costos laid out, I'm taking the over on 4.5 catches for Trey Tucker at a +120 there at BetMGM.
Brad, have an awesome show tonight, and we will catch up with you tomorrow, my friend, on a phenomenal Football Friday.
RJ Harvey, anytime touchdown, +210. I'm out!
The meteorologist himself, the great Brad Evans, the ball. Wait, hold on a second. Wait, Brad, can you pop on here? Can you stay for a second? Jake, yeah. Do we have the new things imaging? Brad, we booted you off of things, and you'll understand why in a second. Jake, do we have it? And can you play it if you have it?
We've scanned the globe. We've searched near and far. We've found the best of the best. And now You Better You Bet brings you things.
Okay, now just okay. Your reaction.
I think it's awesome. I love the horns there in the background. The silky smooth voice, and the female gives a little bit more credibility than I ever have. So good call.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Adios, amigos.
Brad Evans with the sales out the answer I was looking for, but that's okay. Bill Zimmerman is here, our executive producer with the real one submissions, Bill, for their bets for Broncos Raiders tonight. Bill, what do we got?
Nick, let's move over to the Twitter/X machine, and let's get you one here from JRaider401, who says Michael Mayer over 2.5 catches is a lock. As a Raiders fan with Jacoby Myers traded, Raiders used heavy 12 personnel last week. I think it continues. 3 catches on 7 targets last week, not to mention Bowers gets all the attention, leaving Mayer with mismatches. How about Jack Bones? He says, take the Raiders money line +285, both Super Bowl winning coaches. Carroll's looking to take the bad taste out of his mouth. Big risk, big reward. And I'll give you one here from the YouTube chat. Franchise Davis, Bo Nix over 1.5 passing touchdowns, even around the goal line. Peyton calls Bo Nix's number. Denver runs away, and Peyton lets Nix shine on the island game. It's a real set. That's a little sample, Nick, from the real ones.
Is the X machine? Is that someone that would fight Femitron or somewhere where you watch pornography?
I think that's the triple X machine. One. The X machine fights Femi.
Yeah. Yes, the Twitter or the X machine. We have just aged tremendously as a show. All right.
So the ones
let's get to
MRIs.
The bets for tonight. Spoiler alert, there's no games except for football, really. Jake, please drop the dope SB. All right, go for the end zone without breaking a sweat. With today's Pro Football No Sweat Token, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets if your wager doesn't win. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app and please gamble responsibly. All right, Femi, yeah, and check the show out in podcast form. Any bets in the NBA? Give us the hockey goal scores very quickly, please.
Yes, St. Louis Blues, Dylan Holloway, +310. Senator, Dylan Cozen, +240. Timo Meier of the New Jersey Devils, +245. Joel Eriksson Ek of the Minnesota Wild, +294. And then Evgeny Malkin of the Penguins, +255. Let's light the lamp tonight.
All right, love it. No bets for me in the NBA. I don't like the game. Clippers and Suns, bunch of players out. I'm passing. Let's go right to Thursday Night Football, Femi. Yeah. Oh, Femi's betting the Clippers. Okay. Broncos laying 9 against the Raiders, 42.5 the total. How are you betting side and total?
Brad spoiled it, but I like over 42 in the game. I think Sean Payton does recognize like the narrative around his quarterback. I think they're going to make sure that the offense is clicking against a bad defense. And the Raiders offense also came to life with Brock Bowers back in the lineup.
I think if I had to bet the game, I think I'd lay Denver. I'm passing side and total here. I will have some props, which I will get to momentarily. But first, we got to put on the SPF and we got to take a trip to Femi's Island.
It might
mountain terrain. But for the Las Vegas Raiders, if there's a way to attack this Denver defense, it's with the tight end, but not the one you're thinking about. We might be a week late on the resurrection, but 6 days after Halloween, Michael Mayer returns to haunt the Broncos at 26-1. And for Denver, we have a guy who's seeing an increase in snaps with Marvin Mims on the mend. We'll go with Pat Bryant, who all he did was catch touchdowns at Illinois, will get his second as a pro, and it'll be the first TD tonight. So it's Mayer and Pat Bryant for your first TD scores, and I'll see you on the island.
That was pretty exceptional. The 6 days for the resurrection. I was like, where is he going with this? I love that. That was good. That was good stuff, Emmy.
The music will be playing, man.
Tyler says in the chat he was hoping that you picked Marvin Mims and did a Slow Jams rendition. Marvin Mims is out with a concussion. Always love when the members of the crew are in tune with what's happening in the world of sports. Let's get to that, man. Royal Prop King. Yes, because Pat Bryant's playing.
Now approaching the betting window, it is your Prop King, Nick Costos. All hail King Costos.
All hail King Costos.
Worship me, worms. All right, be quick here because we're running out of time. I decided to do a minute on the Purple Reef. It's true. Look it up. Troy Franklin earlier today was 42 and a half. That number was crazy. I talked about it on a couple radio hits I did earlier. It's 47 and a half now, and it should be higher because he's going to wreck this Raiders defense. Now, Cortland Sutton's the number one, obviously. I think you will see Sutton get extra attention tonight. No Marvin Mims, which means it's Troy Franklin time. Troy Franklin over 47 and a half receiving yards. Anytime touchdowns? I will back Femi's Island with both first and anytime touchdown for Michael Mayer, as the Raiders will be running 12 personnel the rest of the season with Jacoby Myers now in Jacksonville. And I alone am giving out this bet. It is a bet that will change the world. Bo Nix anytime touchdown tonight in the Broncos and the Raiders. We'll see everybody tomorrow on a phenomenal Football Friday. Until then, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM tonight on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.